screw that up, will you please drive that?
Yeah, I mean, when we bought that house.
God bless you.
Okay, it's 7 o'clock and I'm gonna call our meeting to order. And I'll note that all of our directors are here. You don't physically see Larry, but he's here on the phone and Larry's recovery is proceeding apace, which delights all of us. And we have our administrator, Brenda is here, and our fire chief, Lance, is here. So I'm gonna go ahead and because our auditor is here, and he's had a very long day and still has to get to Sacramento to get to bed tonight. So I'm going to reorder our agenda, and we're going to do the consent calendar and oral communications after our auditor, Justin Williams, does his presentation so we can get him out of here and home. Okay?
All right.
Justin, you're on.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Good evening. So I'm here to present the audit results for the Kensington Fire Protection District for the year ended June 30th, 2017.
Would it be possible for you to stand perhaps over on the side so we can all watch your smiling face?
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
All right, so again, my name is Justin Williams. I'm at the audit firm Andrudy & Nelson CPAs, here to present the audit results of the district for the year ended June 30th, 2017. I have a if anybody wants one of these, we have extra handouts here, but PowerPoint I'm going to be going over. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the audit process and then ultimately the audit results. One thing I'd like to remind boards, as well as management and members of the public, that financial statements themselves are the representation of management. Oftentimes you'll hear people refer to the audited financial statements as the audit report. So really, the financial statements are the representation of management as to what the financial activities were and balances were. And then we come in as the auditor and form our opinion on those financial statements to indicate whether or not they're fairly stated. So a little bit about how we got here in our audit process. We were on site in October doing our field work. Some of the things that we do while we're out here, as Brenda knows, she pulled a whole lot of information for us. We do risk assessment, look at part of our requirement as an auditor is to design our audit procedures to address the riskier areas. So we look at just activity throughout the year. We read all the board minutes that went on throughout the year to make sure we have a good understanding of things that went on. We have conversations with Brenda as well as the external CPA. We look at different internal controls and the processes that go on at the district. So we look at revenues. What are the controls over cash receipts? What are the disbursements? What are the controls over expenditures for the district? Also look at payroll and then financial reporting. So how those day-to-day type transactions roll up into your financial software and then ultimately to the audit report that we form our opinion on. An idea of some of the testing we do, big part of the testing is cutoff testing. That's really risk-based, especially because if there are going to be errors in a financial statement, really any financial, more often than not, it's going to occur at a period end. Oftentimes, people are pretty good at doing the day-to-day transactions throughout the year. Once a year end comes around, making sure that transactions are recorded in the proper period is a big thing. So that's a big part of what we do. We do detailed transaction testing. We pull invoices, look at a lot of the details that went on throughout the year, and then we prepare the financial statements. Okay, so reporting the results of the audit. So as a result of those procedures, we issue, in this case, three different reports. We do our audit opinion, which is the main report. It goes at the front of the financial statements. We issue a government audit standards report, which goes at the back of the financials. And then we issue a separate letter called communication with those charged with governance, which is you. So I'll go over the results of each one of those. First one, as I mentioned, is really the main one. That's our independent auditor's report. That's our audit opinion on the financials. Now, there's four different types of opinions we can give: unmodified, qualified, adverse, or disclaimer. You want an unmodified opinion, and that's what we have here. What that means, it's a clean audit opinion. It means that the financial statements as presented are fairly stated. we spend about a page and a half of legal boilerplate language to say that, but ultimately, that's what you need to know. It's a clean opinion, meaning that the financial statements as presented are fairly stated. The next report we issue is the Government Audit Standards Report. As I mentioned, that goes at the back of the audited financial statement packet. Main thing to note here is during the course of the audit, if we identify any deficiencies in internal controls, as an auditor, we're required to put those in one of three categories. Material weakness, which is a major breakdown in controls to the point that the numbers could be misstated. Significant deficiency, not as major as a material weakness, but still warrants communication to the board. If we had either one of those would go in this report. As you can see, there were none. Good news. The main thing with that is, since that Government Audit Standards Report gets issued as part of the audited financial statement packet, if you had one of those severe findings, if you will, that would be part of your audited financial statement packet. And again, we had none of those. The next letter we issue is our communication with those charged with governance. We call it the SAS 114 letter. It stands for Statement of Auditing Standard Number 114. Really what this letter accomplishes is, other than the audit opinion, there's certain things that we're required to communicate to you. Pretty standard things here. If you have any estimates on your financial statements, all financial statements are going to have estimates, most commonly depreciation. We're just required to let you know what those are. Here we have depreciation in the OPEB asset. That's other post-employment, that's the health care plan. If there were any difficulties with management or any difficulties in performing the audit, we would also put those on this letter. And again, we did not have any issues with that. Things that we would put on there would be delays in getting information, difficulties in obtaining information that prevented us from doing our job timely. So we didn't have any. Next one here is if we had any audit adjustments. The big one here, we had no current year audit adjustments, which is good news. One of the main things about not having it, it's we almost always have some, but in this case, the fact that you don't have any really says a lot about the quality of the staff and the external CPA that you have here. The reason that's important is because you're looking at financial statement information throughout the year. If at the end of the year that auditor comes in and posts a ton of adjustments, you might want to think, well, what have we been looking at all year if we have all these adjustments at the end? So that's pretty important. So even if you have a clean opinion and a lot of audit adjustments, that you still would want to question the financial information that you're looking at throughout the year. But again, that's good news, no audit adjustments. We did have a prior period adjustment, however, to remove, this is more of an accounting thing. Last year, the auditor incorrectly included the net OPEB asset in the funds, and that's not correct. It's supposed to be in the government-wide statements only. So we removed that.
That's the trust that we have that holds the money for our prepaid benefits for retired employees.
Correct.
Yeah.
So overall, in conclusion, we have unmodified opinion, clean opinion, no compliance exceptions, material weaknesses, or significant deficiencies. And we had no current year audit adjustments, and we had that one prior period adjustment. Really good results, especially for our first year. Oftentimes we come in and we identify some deficiencies, we identify some different audit adjustments, but for us to come in, especially in the first year, and have audit results like this really says a lot about the quality of Brenda and Debbie as well that are working on these things.
We agree, they both do a fabulous job. And so do you. What a nice explanation. You know, you did a nice job. Any questions that the board has?
No, thank you, Justin.
Members of the public, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to go to page 12. Okay. Most of the way down is...
I didn't bring it.
Page 12? 12.
Of the report itself? Okay.
Okay, most of the way down on the expenditures. The second largest expenditure item is buildings, utility, and services at $227,400. So then I went to the notes on page 29, And it seems to me that that's the second largest expenditure for the year. There ought to be some kind of an explanation. Clearly, it's not utilities. It had to have to do with earthquake issues or whatever. But if you look at this, why would you as an auditor accept the second largest expenditure item on the sheet without an explanation?
Well, it's not a requirement to include that in there. I mean, it's laid out on this financial statement as to what that is. There is an opportunity for management to include that in the MD&A, which I don't know if that was done. I don't think it was done, but
no, it wasn't.
In terms of identifying large expenditures and including those in the notes, that would be a little unusual, but it's not something.
It's not only the second largest item, it's also $39,000 of a budget.
That's correct.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You don't see this material.
I didn't say it was a material. I mean, it's identified on the financial statements as its own line item, so you can see what it is. You can see that line item was over budget. I mean, that could be an item, like I said, that could be explained in the MD&A and the management's discussion and analysis, but in terms of presentation and the financial statements, I wouldn't see any reason to point that out.
Okay, anyway, I'm asking for some kind of breakdown on that $227,400. Not from you, from management.
I don't have it with me right now.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
No,
do you want me to email you, Carl?
You have my email address.
Why don't you give it to me at the end of the meeting just to make sure I have it.
So, when you look at transactions, but expenses and revenues, this is all held within a general ledger, is that true?
Correct. QuickBooks is what is used for the general ledger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's all electronic.
Correct.
And you have the entire thing at your disposal? And do I picture then the posting of this thing is having like monthly closings where they would sort of give every month a kind of a summary of what happened that month, or does it just collect all this stuff all year? How does it?
Well, one of the things that we look at as a main control is essentially a month closed through the bank reconciliation process. And so as long as the bank's getting reconciled every single month, which it is, that's a major control that we look at. And getting reviewed, then we're assured that monthly close process is...
Okay, so you balance it with the bank.
Sure.
See, now I have another question about this. And so what's sort of overlaid over all of this is sort of a chart of accounts where things, expenses are categorized, and that would be reflected, for instance, in what we have today
Yes, but I mean even in this level of detail, which is quite a bit of detail from what you'll normally see in a government financial statement to be broken down at this level, there could be multiple accounts that roll up into this.
Well, that's what I was getting at is how deeply into the detail do you go and how much of it is roll up?
Yeah, so what we obtain from them is, so it's a trial balance at the end of the year. So it's every single account that they have. When presenting financial statements, a trial balance is always going to put multiple things into these categories. Uh-huh. I mean, otherwise, especially if you looked at a city financial, which are already 200 pages long, it would be 50,000 pages long. But in this case, since we obtain the QuickBooks file, we have that access, access. We drill down ourselves into those individual accounts, pull samples from those individual line items, and obtain supporting documentation.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no further questions or comments, I would thank our guest for his presentation. Thank you so much. And I would be happy to entertain a motion to accept the fiscal year 16-17 financial statements and independent auditor's review as presented to you in your packet.
Second.
You would be making the motion.
Oh.
Just say so moved.
So moved.
Okay. And is there a second?
Second.
Yeah. Okay. It's seeing no further discussion, I'm going to call for a vote. And again, because of Larry's absence, it's going to be a roll call vote on Don's motion to accept the financial statement and independent auditor's review as submitted. So let's see. Joe, how do you vote?
Aye.
I vote aye.
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 And how about you, Larry?
Aye.
Okay. It's unanimous then, and we have accepted your financial report. So have a safe drive home. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Nice job. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to go back to our regular agenda then, and we're back on item one, which is our consent calendar, and we've got items 3, 4, and 5 to adopt on our consent calendar, the minutes of our meeting of January 10th, the monthly accounts payable voucher, and approval of the monthly financial report. Any comments on any of those, board?
No.
Okay, then I would be happy to entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar consisting of items 3, 4, and 5.
I so move. I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt our consent calendar.
Yes.
And again, we'll do our roll call vote because of Larry's absence. Joe, what say you?
Aye.
I vote aye. Don?
Aye.
Aye.
Nina? Aye. And how about you, Larry?
Aye.
Okay, then we have unanimity again on the adoption of our consent calendar. Okay, we're on to item 2 of our agenda, and that's oral communications. And I would remind you that this is the place for directors and or members of the public to make comments or questions about matters that do not otherwise appear on our agenda. Board members, do you have any comments?
No.
Okay, hearing none. Any members of the public who have comments or questions? Yes.
Ciara Wood, comment. I met with Patrick McIntyre Tuesday morning. He is the supervisor for Wildcat Canyon Park, the East Bay Regional Parks. Yes, he was at the end of Tire Season Party. So we walked all the trails and we talked about the Elves' rich fantasy life and what we would love to be able to do, and he was very positive about everything.
Great.
And this is unbelievable, so I'm glad everyone's seated. He sort of thought it would be nice to do more collaboration and working together than just signing off on the right of entry permit. So that's kind of...
Very nice.
Yippee! Good
for
you.
Very nice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what a nice inroad you've made. Thank you so much. Yeah.
To piggyback on that, I can tell you I spoke with Patrick after we sent a letter supporting more work in that area, and he was very thankful of the kind thoughts that the fire district pointed directly towards him for his partnership and the work he's done up there. So
that's great.
It was nice to hear.
That's wonderful. That's good news. All good news. Okay. We're on to item 7, and that means you're up, Lance. That's the fire chief's report.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this spring-like evening. A little out of sorts. What happened to our February winter? I have a couple items for you tonight. First off, you'll see our annual training report. In this training report, I'll just hit some highlights. You'll see that our training chief that had been there for 12 years was reassigned back to the position of Fire Marshal Disaster Preparedness Coordinator. That was Chief Gibson. And we have a newly promoted battalion chief in Chief James that's now running the EMS division, the training division, and our CERT program. So that transition has taken place over the last 6 months. It seems to be moving well. Both of them are enjoying their new assignments.
Oh, great.
Chief Gibson's 12 years, if you remember, was before that he was our fire marshal for 6 years. So he's coming back full circle to where he was, which is always good to bring in fresh staff and rotate people back around. We also entered our 12th year. This is something I started when I first became chief with the organization, where we went away from some of our classroom-based training and we started to do online training where the employees can work from home, work from anywhere really, where they have internet capabilities and also work in the stations. And it really frees up our company time during the daily workday for more hands-on things, trainings and inspections. And so we completed in 2017 1,037 hours of online training. Also throughout the year, you've heard me speak of this before, we have a really robust performance evolution program. And what that is there's about 20 different standards that the engine companies go out and we, in essence, train like there is a real incident. So we simulate a wildland fire or a structure fire, and all the engine companies go through them with their crews, and the training chief and the line battalion chief is with them and evaluates them and times them, and there's standard times and actions they have to take. So they're very time consuming to do. But the flip side is by getting a lot of the online classroom stuff done away from work or in the evening, we have more time during the day for this type of stuff. You'll see in addition to those 1,000 hours plus of online training I spoke of, we also recorded 14,000 hours of training in all different categories. And this is all active hands-on training. I'm going to highlight just a few that a lot of people probably don't really realize that we do. Every year we do a wildland annual refresher, where we go over the wildland standards, and then we work with Berkeley, Albany, Richmond, Confire, and we activate what we call the mutual response drill for the Canyon Rim. And this all stems as far back as from the Oakland Hills fire. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it since then. So everyone at that point gets together, they become familiar with each other again, they work on different communication channels and they refresh their skills. We do that annually. This year, for the first time, we brought in some special EMS training where we covered a full segment on Alzheimer's, dementia, and autism. So our paramedics, when they're dealing with the patients, have a better understanding of those dreadful diseases. It was very effective, and our paramedics really, really enjoyed it. One that I always find interesting that the general public usually doesn't think of is we do what they call his National Fire Protection Association 1404 Air Management Training. And really what that is a firefighter puts on all of their equipment and we put them through things. We make them crawl through a maze, we make them pull hose. And what we do is we intensify the labor they have to exert to see how long their 45-minute air bottle will last. And it's also a good mental training for every firefighter because they're called 45-minute bottles. And for some people, they're an hour. For some people, they're 15. It just depends on how you breathe and if you can manage your adrenaline when you're doing those things. So we do that, and all the firefighters go through that. So they have a good understanding of when they're involved in the real situation. This year, we continue to do our terrorism awareness training, which covers everything from explosive devices to chemical warfare and all those type of things, kind of the basics on all that. Also this year we injected a new thing. OSHA came out and they're really ramping up the requirements and procedures for reporting industrial injuries that we respond to. Not that we have, but when we go to a neighborhood house and there's a painter that slipped off the roof, we have a whole new level of reporting requirements on that because OSHA is learning that those are the industrial injuries that are slipping through the cracks. And so it's a whole new level of that. And then also as a reminder, it's quite an undertaking when we have probationary firefighters. And in 2017, we processed three new firefighters. As you well know, that's rare for us to bring on three new employees in that time period. And then one thing just to have on the radar, this is something we've been looking at for probably 24 months. We have used we've used the City of Richmond Fire Training Center off Cutting. It has been sold, and it's now back to the people that bought it are letting us continue to use it rent-free and letting the city use it. And so a community development project is moving forward to put housing on that site. What I can tell you is at some point we will have to relocate, and we have, of course, a strong relationship with Chevron Fire Department and the Maritime Academy that's down by Chevron, and that probably would be the main place we would try to go to. But in my tenure as your chief, that piece of property has sold three times and then fallen out of sale and defaulted back to the city.
Oh, wow.
Just because it has issues getting through the planning and zoning process. So it's I bring it up because at this point they're it would appear they're farther along than they've ever been. But we will see. We will see. That's all I have for you on that topic. Next on there, I think most of you were copied on this email. We had an email correspondence from Charles Toombs, one of our citizens here in town. He sent it to Brenda and Nina, and he asked that we discuss this at the board meeting. What you'll see in your packet there is he asked some questions that were stimulated from the mudslides after the fires down south, and how in essence we would work and what plans we have in place. If you look past the article, we included the article for you to read at your leisure. It's a good article. You'll see the correspondence from Chief Gibson back to Mr. Toombs in regards to what would take place here in an all-risk environment if there was a situation, and how we would utilize the California Master Mutual Aid Assistance for a large incident, and moreover, how we have automatic aid agreements with all of our surrounding jurisdictions to include Berkeley, Albany, Moraga, Richmond, Confire, Rodeo, Hercules, Pinal, everyone that's right around us. And those are automatic aid agreements. And the difference between a mutual aid agreement and an automatic aid agreement is if you request mutual aid, there's a process it has to go through. Automatic aid is you just call and they come. It doesn't have to go back up the food chain. And in mutual aid, that doesn't always take a lot of time, but an automatic aid is the boundary's not there. There's no county line, there's no city line. It just automatically happens. When Berkeley calls for us to move that way, we just move that way. So it's really streamlined. Also here you'll see a broad breakdown of what is in the adopted emergency operations plan, the parts of it, and the areas that it's broken down into very in-depth. You'll also see on the second page where, and I think this is where most of the discussion hovered around, was part four, where it's the Kensington Annex that talks about, it's four pages of document that talks about emergency operations, threats, command posts, communication, and those type of shelters, shelters that we would use. Chief Gibson corresponded this stuff, this information with Mr. Toombs, and also offered to do any more enlightening or education that he desired. I do understand that you've already been in contact with Chief Gibson to start to pull together an article.
Right.
Thank you very much. Okay, one other thing that's not in here tonight that I would like to let everyone know is we're in the very, very final phases of completing our first vegetation juniper removal replant, and if we have received a request for someone for repayment for the landscaping that they have done to fix it. And so I think that's pretty remarkable.
That's great.
Partnership with, you know, Diablo Fire Safe, community outreach, what we've done, what Ciara has done, what a gentleman in the back has done as he stares at his iPad. Congratulations, sir. I don't want to embarrass him, but that's our first completed project.
Oh, yippee, that's great.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Thanks,
and the check's in the mail. So thank you very much. And then I'd like to close tonight with, I guess, some formal information that I would like to put out. I have expressed to the city of El Cerrito and the labor group that I will be retiring at the end of the year.
What?
What?
No.
Yeah, I tried to make it go faster, but I didn't say what.
This is humor, right?
No. I'm blessed to be in a position where at the end of this calendar year, I will retire from the fire service and go on another adventure.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
You know, I knew this in advance of the meeting, and Lance and I have talked, and what we're going to do is arrange a dinner.
You bet.
And we're going to arrange the dinner kind of sooner rather than later, because he's going to be showered with affection at the end of the year. So we're going to try to arrange something this spring, and we'll be in touch with you when we figure out exactly what that is.
Well done,
Chief. You are extraordinary, as we have expressed to you many times. We will miss you very much. And just the tenor of your report tonight is, wow, are you good? Yeah, we appreciate you very much.
I have to say, as your fire chief and the fire chief for Kensington, it's been an absolute pleasure. And as you can tell, it's a little hard.
Yeah.
But working in this community, working in El Cerrito, I feel really blessed. The citizens, they're very supportive. The elected officials are very supportive. I looked at it over my time. I've been in the fire service for 30 years. I've saw a lot of different chiefs do it different ways. Wait till the last minute, give it a month. And some chiefs that I really respected gave a year's notice. And so I decided after the holidays I wanted to shoot for a year's notice. Because transition and change can be difficult. And I want the board to have access and be able to ask me everything they want to ask me over the next 11 months. I assure you 100% I will be at the table and I will work for you every day like I have since 1995 when the contract started with Kensington. But I think a lengthy transition will be best. We have a lot of moving parts within the city of El Cerrito and the community of Kensington that will take time, detail, and attention. I just appreciate the opportunity to work for you.
Good for you. Congratulations, and we wish you well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And that's all I have for you tonight.
Okay. Any questions from the board for Lance? Okay, then we've got one from the public. Yeah, David.
Well, first, congratulations.
Thank you.
Secondly, how can you access, a citizen access the emergency operations plan? I went on the El Cerrito City website.
It's not on the website.
Yeah, it's not on the website. I think sometimes when we refer to this emergency operations plan, and I can get you a copy of it. It's a plan that's for the employees and the officers of the organization. It doesn't tell citizens what to do.
Right.
It tells the governing agency from all the way down to the lowest level of public works to the highest level. But if I can get you a copy of it.
I was curious about the annex for...
Yeah, I can. If you give Brenda your email and sure. we can set up a Dropbox, it's a big document.
Right.
And so we can put it in a Dropbox if you'd like.
Yeah, well, Brenda, I think you have mine, so...
Yeah, check in with Brenda at the end of the meeting, so and she'll make sure that you get what you've asked for.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's the chief's report, and thank you very much. I have a relatively brief president's report. First, unfortunately, we're going to have a little bit of delay in the demonstration garden. We hired our landscaped, or an authorized retaining the landscaper designer last month, and he has withdrawn from the project.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's just not going to be able to fit it into his schedule. So that's going to interject a little bit of delay while we find another designer, which we are working on doing now. But that's a disappointment to all of us, and we'll keep you abreast of where we go on that. Two, with respect to renewing our District of Distinction status, we have a couple things that people need to do in order for us to renew. And in terms of board members, Joe and Larry, you need to fulfill an educational component, and Brenda will give you the dates and the availability. Mm-hmm. Nina and Don and I are current because we've done it within the last 5 years, and it's a 5-year window that you have to... Mm-hmm. Complete the educational component.
It's training you've already had. They just like to refresh it.
Yeah, it's a renewal thing. And I think they're actually having it up in Napa maybe in another month or two, which is where I took it last time, and it
That's
was a
right.
good program.
It's a great place to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a very good program. In addition, we all have to submit our financial disclosures in a timely manner. And so I am reminding you tonight that you have to make your financial disclosures. And I will remind you again next month and announce who hasn't done it yet so that I can put some pressure on you to make sure we get the financial disclosures in on time. Okay? And I'm just warning you.
Have a record of my doing that?
No.
It goes
directly
okay.
to the county. You're getting emails?
I got a confirmation that mine had been received.
Oh, okay.
So I've done it 3 times. I guess I need a lesson in it.
Oh, you mean this year you've done it 3 times?
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah, and I've done it as well.
Back,
I mean,
so.
Maybe what we can do to facilitate this process is when you get your email confirmation back, would you forward it to me and Brenda?
Okay.
So that I know what's going on.
Yeah, otherwise I have no idea.
Otherwise we don't know who's done that.
Did you send an email to all of us?
I did not. I'm not getting the emails that you're getting.
Yeah, the county sent to you all the forms by email.
You're being held responsible
individually
now.
Okay, I have to report.
Yeah, go back. The county sent them all to you. But anyway, once...
Like a A hard copy, right?
It's all computerized now. We filled it out by computer last year, and what they're doing is giving you the form that you filled out last year, they are sending you, and then it's your job to edit that and make any changes. So it's a relatively quick process.
Yeah, and just to be clear, you all were current for our transparency certificate.
Right. Yes.
That's because we started before the end of the year.
That's right.
For 17.
This is for next year.
That's correct.
18.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah.
18 reporting backwards.
Yeah. So when you get that email confirmation that you have submitted the material, please send a copy of that to me and to Brenda so that I can ride your ass next month.
Well, remember, if you haven't done it. This is the government making it easier.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think when Brenda handed them out, it was easier.
Well, but it was a lot easier for me this time because they already had all the data in and I just had to revise it. It's not as bad a form as you think it is. I also went to the CSDA meetings up in Sacramento last week. Two interesting things I'd like to report to you there. Next year is the 50th anniversary of the CSDA. And so one thing they're doing is soliciting 50-year-old pictures and current pictures. And I thought it might be kind of fun if we could show them an old fire engine and a new fire engine. Maybe, Brenda, if you could go back and take a look and see if we've got that, and we could get some good press on that if we submitted it at an early date. It makes their job easier, and we would hit their... we're not having a meeting again until June. So don't wince.
No, I'm just wondering who it goes to. Staff person.
I'll give you the staff person's name, and we can shoot that to them. But they're looking for some of those old pictures. I mean, you know, or if we had old pictures of firefighters and a current picture of our team. You know, the engines, the team. I think it's, they said buildings, but that's kind of embarrassing for us at this point to get into the building issue. So I'm thinking more of firefighters and engines. Okay. So maybe we can respond to that. And then... they're holding a webinar in April on highlights of revising your manual, policy and procedures manual. Brenda tells me that probably ours is going to be ready in March. I don't know whether we want to delay 1 month so that the members of the committee have the opportunity to attend that. It's an online webinar. I don't know whether you want to attend that webinar. I think it's probably a good idea to make sure that they're hitting the highlights and that we haven't missed anything on our manual committee. But I'm happy to go ahead and approve the manual in March because Brenda tells me it's almost ready. And then if after that webinar you see anything significant that might need to be changed,
Like a draft, rough draft, and that I could look at and then watch that?
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, that might be a good thing for us to capitalize on, just to double check where we are on the manual. Okay, that's all I have to report as my president's report then. Okay? So we're on to new business, and you'll note that in your packet is the written... report from Rock Ridge Geotechnical, and this is a written report that coincides with the oral report he made at our December meeting. And because there's no significant change
change. There's a major change.
Oh, what is it? Okay.
If you remember... going through, there was this. There's a requirement, setback requirement.
Yes, correct.
And they were saying 25 or 50. They have come out and said 50, which means we can't build on that site.
Okay, because it's a firm 50. We can't get relief from that.
Well, it says suggested, but the standard is set by the state, and a state has 50. I mean that came through this discussions that we had.
Okay.
So I'm guessing. I mean, you can question it, but I think it's the state standard, and someone would have to make it, you know,
an extraordinary waiver case
or an allowance
yeah.
to make it yeah. down to 25.
Okay, let me ask you an informational question then, Don. Does that mean that we could not, could we renovate?
We can renovate.
And could we replace using exactly the same footprint? No, I guess.
No.
All we could do on that side is renovate, which makes relatively little sense. Yeah.
25-foot, you know, offset. Mm-hmm. We could probably get a building there. It would be a little taller. We'd have to solve the parking problem, but it might, you know, it would have been possible. It's not possible anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's significant.
Okay, it's extraordinarily significant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
So. Okay, I'm confused. There is a 50-foot setback now, right?
Yeah, before it was 25 or 50, and he said maybe 25.
No, I know, but the present building has a 50-foot setback. So
it does.
So one could renovate the public safety building.
You can renovate it.
And you could even go up another story.
I doubt it.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, that's a pretty significant remodel. I don't know.
As far as I knew, a remodel can, you know, tear it down practically the foundations and build it up.
Yeah. There probably is a description someplace. And maybe we can ask the geotech if they can lead us to legislation to, you know, clear that.
I mean, it would probably take a variance to go up three stories, but still, I don't see why that could not be done.
Stronger foundation.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I can tell you this, since the article was in the Outlook, we've been contacted in writing twice and on the phone once. Not happy. And they misinterpreted the height of the retaining wall as going from X to 25 feet. They thought that meant up.
Oh, yeah. No.
And so we've had to explain to all of them that means subsurface down, leveling the lot.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would have to venture that any height raising of the building would be even
the
more
notion,
dramatic to the
board. Just to be clear, you know, we got that email.
Yeah.
So in the diagrams, we actually had a kind of a two-story functional element beside the apparatus bay, which would be taller.
Yes.
We have a particularly low ceiling in our apparatus bay.
Yeah, like a mezzanine.
And so you would try to squeeze in two floors, and then you'd put a floor on top. So it would probably go up 6-8 feet, and it's not going up 15.
It's like
15
a mezzanine.
Or, yeah, a mezzanine. We just have to get enough headroom. Yeah. I don't... so it probably is...
Go up from there.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to...
That's schematic.
We don't need to decide that tonight because
No.
What's on our agenda is simply accepting the report of Rock Ridge Geotechnical. Okay, any other comments from the board?
No.
For questions from the board, then I'll take comments from the public.
Just only a point of information on the law. It also, there's a cost factor in the law as well. It says that if you're going to renovate, the renovation can't cost more than half the value of the property.
Yeah.
So, I think it would be, and this is just...
Where did you find that?
In the law. It's written in the code section. And I would advise anybody...
No, what it says is if you're renovating... If you spend more than half the value, you have to bring it all up to code. That's a little different.
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know if I... I would suggest you go back and read that because I don't know that I read it that way. But the 50-foot setback is in the law, too.
They were playing with it, and I think they finally decided they weren't going to go anyplace with it. Yeah.
Carl?
I'm at the conclusion. And I read it again, and it didn't seem like a conclusion to me. Well, will somebody explain to me what the conclusion was?
Well, I would... The report is in the packet, so why don't you take it?
Yeah, I know. I read it, and I read it again.
Well, there is a conclusion. I haven't studied this, okay?
Oh, okay. It seemed very vague to me. Even understanding that they want to be careful because nobody absolutely knows, but it just...
Why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about it next time when we've all read the report, so that would make more sense to me anyway. And it's not... It is agendized, but not as a topic to...
Well, I think ultimately the conclusion of the report is, based on the inconsistencies of the sound testing, you have to consider at this point there's a fault, trace fault, or rupture directly under the retaining wall.
Yes.
And the only option would be, and I don't even like saying this out loud, is to tunnel under the wall, secure the wall, dig under the foundation, and put eyes on it. That would be a very, very costly, Kevin Ryan said, would be a very, very costly adventure to probably determine that there is a trace fault, a rupture, or a fault there.
To tell us what we already believe.
To tell us what the sound testing already says. So the conclusion off that statement means you have to be 50 feet off the wall.
Yes.
And 50 feet off the wall is only acceptable once we decided to do the next step, and that is trench the parking lot to make sure there's nothing in the 50 feet. Mm-hmm. So there's no guarantee. I mean, right now we couldn't say, well, we'll just stay off the wall 50 feet and see what we come up with. Before we would commit to a replacement project, we then would have to trench that section, which there could be a high probability that we would run into elements there that would deter the project.
Yeah, but with the 50-foot setback, there's no space left.
Yeah, no. I'm just trying to... Yeah. What the report's saying is, for all intents and purposes, the wall is a fault. 50 feet from there, you can rebuild. Our project doesn't map that.
No.
But even if we chose to downsize or do whatever and rebuild at that site, we still would have to trench the parking lot to ensure in that 50 feet there were no traces off that assumed fault at the wall.
Yes. Anthony.
Yeah, this listening to all of this, this is very discouraging. At least it is to me. There are, I agree with the interpretation of the chief, that's what I think too, that there are so many hurdles to be jumped now that it's pretty much a deal breaker for any kind of expansion or the kind of expansion that you'd really want. And I guess two things I want to say is, like, at some point doesn't the board say, okay, throw up their hands, and let's go on. Let's recognize the obvious that this won't work, and see what we can do, I guess, somewhere else. And will that discussion, do you think, start soon?
It'll start tonight with our mid-year budget review. 10 minutes, if you can wait. Okay, any more questions? Seeing none, I would be happy to accept a motion to accept the report on the preliminary fault investigation from Rock Ridge Geotechnical for the proposed Kensington Essential Services building. Do I hear a motion? Yes.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Nina, seconded by Joe, that we accept the report in the packet. Again, we're doing this by roll call vote because Larry's attending us, our meeting remotely. Joe, what say you?
Aye.
I vote aye. Don?
Aye.
Nina?
Aye.
And Larry?
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous and we have accepted the report. Okay, we're on to item 10 on our agenda then, which is our mid-year budget review. And what I'd like you to do is move for a moment to part of the new business packet, new business section of the packet. And I think it's immediately following that geotech report. There's like a blue, powder blue separator.
Yes.
And then the one I'd like you to do is count three pages back in, past that little blue divider. And then what I'm going to take you through is this page, pages 3 and 4, which is entitled KFPD Revised Combined Revenue, Expense, and Capital Budget. And I'll announce that our finance committee met a couple weeks ago, and that these changes that are in our budget are recommended unanimously by the finance committee, which is Nina and I. And the changes that I'm going to be highlighting are in bold so that you can see them more graphically. And in particular, what we're going to be focusing on is the third column here of fiscal year 2017-2018 budget. That's where we're noting the changes. And I'm going to do them not necessarily in the order they appear on the page. Okay? The first item I'd like you to note is here under community service activities. So I'm now about two-thirds of the way down the page, and you'll see the Diablo Fire Safe matching grants. And you'll see that we've increased that number in our budget up to $20,000 this year. And what we've been doing historically is matching the money that Kensington residents have donated to the Diablo Fire Safe Council. And wow, did Ciara and the elves do a superb job this year. They were able to raise $20,000, close to
$19,116.
So what we've done is left ourselves a little bit. We're going to let Ciara go for another grand. And we'll keep our fingers crossed. She's done an extraordinary job on behalf of the community, and we thank you very much.
Well, let me ask you a question then. $400 has come in that would begin next year's. Do you want, what do you want to do?
Well, we're still in our fiscal year.
We'll talk about this.
Yeah, okay. But at any rate, we've increased our budget up to $20,000, and good for you, CR. What a fabulous job you've done. We really appreciate you. Okay, so that's one item that you'll see in bold in that third column. The second item I'd like you to note is up here under outside professional services, and now I'm about a quarter of the way down the page, and you'll see we've increased our actuarial valuation up to $7,500. That actuarial valuation is what we pay to find out how close we are to having fully funded our obligation to our former employees. There are relatively few actuaries who are competent to perform that calculation, and so the number's gone up a little bit. It may be that our number is actually going to be less than that. So we estimated on the high side there, and we're hoping it won't come in at $7,500, but it's kind of a shocking amount for that calculation. But that's the nature of the game. You have to have somebody.
We're required to have it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this
we're
is required. A required. Is it?
Annually? It's a required. Every 2 years,
every
I think
two.
We
okay,
have
so
to have
required.
It done.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. 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 So it doesn't. That's why you see zeros in the two columns to the left, Don.
Yeah, I see.
Good
it.
For you
yeah.
for spotting it. We only do it, and to the right, you'll see a zero there also. It's required by law that we do it every 2 years, and there are relatively few people who are competent to do it. So it's kind of a shockingly large number. Okay, now I'm down to drop down about five or six lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, I think, down, and you'll see italicized fire engineer plan review, and that's a new state law as well, where we have to hire an independent consultant to review building plans. Yeah, fire sprinkler plans. And so that's a mandate of state law. We have no control over that, and we're budgeting $2,000 for the outside consultant that we would hire to do that to conform to the new state law.
Lance, haven't you been doing sprinkler?
Yes, we do sprinklers, but this is when the code changed to all residential.
Yep.
So when all residential switches over, we charge the customers for that. We charge for the plan review. So when we started doing that for all residential, we send out all residential. In El Cerrito, there's a fee-based program that when you do your building permit, you have to pay it. Kensington, for all fire inspections, plan review, and everything, you guys have never charged. So by not charging, there's a cost when we send the plans out, so to recover the cost. That's
okay,
why that's
got there. It.
Yeah.
Good question, though, Don.
Yeah, and
yes, we have been checking the plans before this.
Yeah, and it is a new state law that once again, we're required to comply with. Okay, let's see. Go on to, well, here, wait, I'm going to stay on that front page. If you look at outside professional services, maybe exactly halfway down the page, for us, it's almost directly opposite the hole in your binder ring. And you'll see that we've got website development maintenance. There are new state laws that go into effect next January 1st with respect to what we have to have on our website. And in particular, one thing we have to have is a better searchable website so that if you put in a word or a phrase, it would be able to take you back to minutes and agendas in, that we have on our website so that people could see the evolution of an idea or a project. Okay? We're not capable of doing that ourselves. And so what we're doing is hiring a company recommended by the California Special District Association to design a new website for us and maintain that website for us in conformity with the new state law. And so we're getting an early start on it so that we have no problems getting that up and running before January 1st, 2019. So that's what the $3,700 is to engage the company recommended by the California Special Districts Association to redesign our website.
So it's starting over from scratch?
Well, no, they're not starting from scratch. They have our they'll have our existing website, and they'll make sure that everything we have up there that we think is important is going to be there. And in addition, all these new things that are required by the new state law.
Yeah.
And the legislature has given all the districts more than a year's notice here to because it's going to be a major change to every special district's website.
Is it time to take a look at what we have before we just go ahead and do the control part of it?
We are looking at what's on it, and we are, in fact, working on the website. That's what Nina and Joe, we have a committee that I appointed last month that's working on the website. And we'll work with this company to make sure that we're not losing anything while we gain something. So we're not delegating this entirely to the outside consultant. Nina and Joe are sitting
Okay, so let me just ask the question one more time.
Yeah.
If we wanted a new look and a different new organization, that's not what you intend. Is that right?
We would probably, even if the new law had not been enacted with new requirements, we could probably build a better website than we have now.
Yeah.
Because we historically have gotten lots of complaints from people, and they go, well, where is this? Why isn't it on your website? And it's there. People just can't find it. You know, everybody says, well, would you send me a copy of your contract with El Cerrito? It's not on your website. Yes, it is, and it's been there for years, but not where anybody can access it.
Okay.
So, I mean, there are changes.
The question I'm asking is different. You're going to fix the mechanics up. You're going to make it accessible. What if we want a new look?
And
it's going to have a new look.
It's
going to have that as well.
Right.
Yeah,
and more friendly.
Yeah, so it's not just aesthetics. It's aesthetics. It's more user friendly, and it's to comply with the new state requirements.
You can't get all of that for $3,700, I don't
think. Well, yes, we can, because these people are doing it for most of the special districts in the state of California.
What's the company?
Streamline. Yeah, I talked to the woman last week. She's got her T-shirt on and everything else. Yeah, and I couldn't come up with it. Good for you. Yeah,
Streamline.
I talked to the principal last week up in Sacramento. Yeah, but I mean, once you've done a certain number of fire districts, our idiosyncrasies we will highlight to the people, but they're very competent at doing things that are common to all fire districts and all special districts.
Which is most of them.
And then it'll be hand-tailored for us. But there's a lot of it that's boilerplate, Don. And that's why the 37...
The aesthetics. That's what you're missing in this discussion,
totally
I think.
Different.
Yeah.
It's going to look very
different. The aesthetics you're not addressing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be pretty.
All right. And it will make it...
Well,
it isn't pretty now, but it'll look better. And we are focusing on aesthetics also. Okay, let's see. There's another item that's on page 2 of this combined revenue expense and capital budget. And we're increasing firefighter equipment so that we can buy a new piece of equipment that's really exciting. And we forgot to put in your packet tonight the report that Joe Gagne prepared for us on this piece of equipment.
I got it.
And it was at your place when you got here tonight.
Oh,
we meant to put it in the packet, but we forgot to put it in the packet. And Captain Gagne really just did a bang up report, and I hope you'll compliment him on this. He really did a nice job, Lance.
I will, for sure.
Joe did a great job on this. And what he's come up with is a proposal for us that's $14,000 and change. And we're going to buy a drone. And let me tell you what the drone can do, because it's really amazing what you get for $14,000 by way of protection. The drone is heat sensitive. So if, for example, we had a fire that we thought we had put out, we could send the drone up and it could monitor that fire and see whether or not it reignited, mm-hmm. whether it really stayed out, which was part of the problem in the Oakland Hills fire because of that heat sensitivity. It also takes pictures from above, and because it can take pictures from above, that helps the firefighters assess what the situation is and helps them in doing their job. And also because it's heat sensitive, if, for example, we had anybody who was lost, we could send our drone up and the drone, you know, like lost in Tilden Park, mm-hmm. we could send our drone up and the drone would find them because the heat from their body would be something the drone would respond to. So it's really, I think years ago, most of us were on the board, not Joe, but most of us were on the board when we first got our thermal imaging sensors, which was kind of, and Larry, you weren't on the board then either, I think. That's right. But well,
no,
we got a demo.
I
beg your pardon?
I came after the thermal imagers.
Yeah, but the thermal imagers, I think the rest of us who were on the board were just stunned with their capabilities. They demonstrated them for us down in the conference room, and they had us all sit down, and then we got up and we looked and everything else, and then they turned on the thermal imager, and it showed where we had sat and where we moved in the room and what we had touched on the visual display. And what that does is help the firefighters, if there's anybody in the house that's on fire, they can find exactly where they are and where they've been. So that in terms of rescue, it's tremendous. In terms of the safety of the firefighters, it's unbelievable. And so we were really sold on the idea of thermal imaging years ago. And now to be able to do it with a drone that has the capacity of being overhead to do it, as well as provide photographs, which are going to be good for people when they file insurance claims. So at any rate, Joe prepared this provision, this proposal for us, and Nina and I were sold on it, and so we're recommending this change in our equipment outlay so that we could purchase the drone. And it's at a price of $14,248. Yes.
Janice?
Oh, hang on one second.
Janice?
Yes, I hear you, Larry. Go ahead.
Yeah, since I'm not there to pick up Joe's package, could you please email it to me?
We can email it to you. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We looked at it at the finance committee meeting, and we've got so many things in the packet tonight. This one was the one that didn't get in, and my apologies. They're passed out at the table. Yeah, but anyway, we'll be sure to send you one by email. Yeah, go ahead.
In an evacuation situation, a drone could be invaluable because mm-hmm. it could see that certain streets were blocked mm-hmm. by trees,
correct.
Or trees or things like that.
Correct.
You know, I mean,
and it would be able to tell us, yes,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and that could be broadcast to people. Right, go down.
Yeah, yeah, this way is unpassable. Yeah, it gives us tremendous capacity. It really a remarkably low cost. Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. But it gives the officials tremendous access to
information. Yeah,
officials have access to communications.
So, just so I understand, what it can do, but it can go out of sight, right? It's not something that you take down to the football field and fly around.
No, you it has a control thing, and it's, I mean, this is a high-end piece of equipment. You can tell it just to fly off the GPS coordinates, and it can just go up and fly a rectangle, or it can hover in one spot and picture, mm-hmm. rotate all the way around. Mm-hmm. You can set down the controller, and it can just run, and when it's doing it, when you're done, you can say home, and it just comes back to where the controller's at.
So does it lose control if you go over the top of the hill and down on the other side?
No, it's got quite a long range. You can be at the canyon and go up and over. You couldn't be at the Arlington and fly it up and over down into Wildcat Canyon. You'd want to be in vicinity of it. But they're amazing, the stuff that we've seen. It's nice to have Joe Gagne on board for this because he is into these. He's responded to some fires in Richmond. They had one up at Hilltop recently, fully involved, small convalescent home. And he just got it up, and it flew up and around the smoke column the whole time the fire was there. Got very, very, very good pictures. Was able to relay some pictures down that there was a bystander behind the house to the rear, thinking they were being a good Samaritan and were spraying water to try to protect their house. But there was a power line going over to the weatherhead on the house that was right above them.
Oh my God!
And you could see it arcing as it was. It was like it was going to fall. So,
oh my word!
Just a different set of eyes and ears for what you see out there.
Yeah, it's really quite extraordinary what it can do.
Equipment, isn't it?
Yeah, Carl.
Are we talking about a drone for Kensington or a drone for Kensington and El Salido?
It's for Kensington.
Does El Salido have one?
No, we do not.
It sure seems to me that if we are getting a drone and we buy it, and ultimately a clear we're going to share it with El Salido. Yeah, El Salido ought to be paying part of that. I mean, there's nothing more fair than that. It's a bigger city, and have them pay 2/3 of it.
Okay, any further comments?
Has El Salido considered getting a drone, Chief?
Yes, we have. We just don't have it in the budget right now.
Yeah. So you'd like to have it?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's a great piece of valued equipment. And whenever we buy something like this, our goal ultimately is for any piece of equipment that has any level of failure rate, we would want to. Just like when we started with the thermal imagers, Kensington had the very first one.
Yeah.
Then we bought one, and then the program grew from that. Now every single piece of equipment has one, and we have spares.
Yeah.
It's something that I really have attributed to. It's really made this relationship really good with the city of El Salido and Kensington. We've had the ability to really jumpstart some programs for the organization. And I always go back to the early beginnings of our relationship and the paramedic program.
That's right.
Kensington got the paramedic program off the ground that totally allowed us to leverage in El Salido, getting the program started. And now, 90% of the time, you have two paramedics on an engine, not just one. And our goal ever to get to was just one.
And I think we were the first fire district in the county.
In the West County.
So I have another question. It seems to me, if you think of the military drones, mm-hmm. you have people sitting there are trained pilots, just so to speak. Mm-hmm. So how, not everybody's going to be good at doing this. So.
No, we will send staff out to be trained on it. Yeah, Joe will be the first to go through it and go through the fire service training.
And is a fire service sort of program?
Yes. There's a fire service and law enforcement program that's starting up and getting going, and it's there's so many hazards and issues that surround this. It can only be up in certain times. It can only be up if there's not aircraft in the air for like Cal Fire or Reach or any of those other helicopters. So it would be up, you know, in the mop-up phase, like you say, we're done, the night's over. Whenever we have a grass fire anywhere in the communities, at the end of the night, you know, everything settles down, we always leave one engine and they patrol.
Yeah.
Well, this could go up, fly the whole area, and at the engine you'd see any change in color. There's a hot spot.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, for like the rescue and search and rescue, you get a report that someone was on the old school trail and we haven't seen them for hours. So it's this time of night, you fly the trail and you scan back and forth. Well, they fell off and went down the hill and they're unconscious. You would see the warmth of them in the bushes. It would show up. So you'd see the shape.
It's extraordinary.
So amazing. It's a good idea. I didn't know it was coming, so I'm a little surprised.
Yeah.
And so the other thing would be, makes sense to me to buy $400 or $500 ones to crash and kind of get accompanied rather than $15,000.
Well, I would say these are very resilient pieces of equipment, and this is like a, you know, when we had the first laptops, now we have tough books.
Yeah.
This would be your tough book version of a drone. It's very easily disassembled and take the propellers off and put new ones on. And for startups, I can tell you, Joe Gagne's crashed his plenty. but he's had very good luck with the stuff that he's done with his personal equipment on.
So if it crashes, can it send a signal back so you can find it?
Yes, it will ping its GPS location of where it's down.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell you where it is.
I'm kind of like this with it, but I think it's coming.
Chief?
Yes, sir.
You talk about relationships. You know, you started out talking about the relationship. But relationships don't work if they are not fair. And all relationship with El Segundo is not fair. And for it to be lasting, any relationship has to be fair.
Okay, I'm going to go on to the last changes.
You have another comment here.
Hmm? Okay. Just go ahead.
I had a comment back regarding the discussion on the website.
Yeah, go ahead.
May I cycle back?
Yeah.
The police district recently redesigned their website. Are you folks aware of that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I thought as long as you're out, I think it was Nina and Joe, sort of, checking out other ideas. They also used Streamline. Mm-hmm. They also had a presentation, an overhead presentation,
mm-hmm.
Which I must debate that they gave at the last board meeting, which was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope, dare I suggest you at least talk to, I think it was Chris Deffy.
Chris?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Chris. I thought I read that, yeah.
Yeah, Brenda's seen the demonstration. Yeah.
So okay. I'm not going to vote for this, and I think it's
then you
coming.
Can vote no on the budget.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, okay.
Right. I would like to.
One is I think it's going to be, there should be one for the city or one for, you know, each half, you know. But I think having one, it's just going to be kind of tempting to use. And if they're here using it, it's maybe they're more, so I think there's a disquality, and I'm agreeing with Carl. And I guess I just don't know if it's tough enough and how it works. So I'm going to say we need to do a little more work on it. So I'm not going to vote for it.
Okay. All right. I'm on
if
the.
If you just support me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been coming here for years. I finally got someone to support me. Life is full of support.
It's your new haircut.
You're his new best friend. Yeah.
Okay, now I'm on the last series of changes,
okay.
And this is four or five changes, and they're all related to what I asked you to wait 10 minutes for, and it's been more than 10 minutes, and I apologize, namely the public safety building. It's abundantly clear that we're not going to be doing much on the public safety building until we figure out where, if anywhere in Kensington, there is an appropriate site. So what we've done is made a huge number of changes in our budget here to reflect that the expenditures that we thought were going to take place when we thought we had a buildable site there at our existing site, it's become abundantly clear that isn't a buildable site, so we've taken the expenditures out.
I disagree. Okay.
Well, let me finish explaining.
All right, sorry.
Okay, and then you can disagree and express your views. Okay, because that was our decision on the Finance Committee, what we've done is increased our interest income, which is the fourth line down in the revenue budget, and we've increased our interest income to $60,000 because it reflects we're not spending money that we thought we were going to spend, and we have higher interest rates than when we prepared the budget initially. So we've increased the budget item for fiscal year 2017-18 and also the planning budget 2018-2019. Now, if you go down and look at towards the bottom on the needs assessment feasibility study, We've increased the budget for 2017-2018 up to $30,000, which is going to take us through July 1st, thinking about where we can go on the public safety building. And then over here on capital outlay, we've zeroed out public safety building construction for this fiscal year because it's abundantly clear we're not going to be breaking ground this fiscal year. And we've put zero in for fiscal year 2018-19, and because we don't know when we're going to locate an appropriate site. So those numbers are all changed, and those are determination that we're not going to be moving quickly on the public safety building. So you disagree, so tell me why.
Well, it's not that it's gone away. We still have the problem.
I understand
that. We don't have
that.
This site, and
I understand
maybe
that.
We don't get a park site, maybe we won't. So I think you're doing your best to kill it, and I'm really disappointed in you because you're the one that wanted it in the first place. So I think what you should do is leave the money there, and we can be careful how we spend it, but don't take it out like it doesn't exist because the problem still exists. So I disagree with it really strongly.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised.
I think the problem does exist, but we agree that we don't have a buildable site at our existing site. We don't have a clear legal opinion that the park is an appropriate site, and we would have to reconsider whether or not we would want to exercise our power of eminent domain to locate another site in Kensington, because there isn't any other open space.
I don't think all of that is happening fast.
Let it
just sleep. Don't kill. Don't pretend like it doesn't exist anymore. That's a mistake. It's a challenge that has to be faced and solved. You just want to run away. So I'm unhappy with your approach, and I think it puts out a bad message to our idea of making a better place for these people to work and live.
Yeah, I would love to make a better place for our people, but the idea that it's going to happen in the next 4 months, yeah, I don't believe
just
that.
Just leave it alone. Just leave the funds alone.
But I just want to reiterate, the conversation was never about killing the project or even about not having money be available. I know that's how it may seem to
you. It's exactly
but we can
the way
always,
it seems.
We can always go back and put it in. You know
just
that.
Leave it alone. It doesn't hurt to say that the project's still there.
I think it's okay, and we decided in the meeting, we thought it was okay to move it.
Well, I'm disagreeing with you strongly.
I know. But I'm just saying the idea is not to kill it. I promise you that was never the conversation.
Well, it doesn't feel right,
it
okay?
It might feel that way to you, but that really isn't the point. It's just to free up the money that was sitting there, maybe use it for some other things.
Well, then they won't have it for the building.
We can go back when we need it, if we need it. But I don't think much is going to happen to you.
Yeah, I think things, well, we're going to find out if the park property is there or not. If one of the things we may end up doing is renovating. Mm-hmm. And right now we have an earthquake 50 feet away from our building.
Oh, I know.
So how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel?
Don, I'm not trying to kill your project. I'm trying to have a budget that reflects reality. And the idea that we're going to be making decisions and breaking ground by July 1st, 2018... I think
well,
is
not.
Totally
we're
unrealistic.
Not, yeah. That's really what
look
it is.
At it as a piggy bank. Don't take it away.
It's not killing it. I promise.
I can't. Well, it doesn't. I'm sorry. Can't
the money that we have is still in the bank.
It's still there.
The money's still there.
It's just that
other
we aren't budgeting.
Well, not if you're
for construction in the next 4 months.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the only thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
Janice, question: is your rationale for doing this that the money makes more money by moving it?
Correct. We make dramatically more money by moving it out of LAIF and putting it into 6 month or 1 year CDs. We make, what's LAIF paying now, Brenda?
2 point something, wasn't it?
No, like
it was
a quarter.
1.2 something.
Yeah, and we can make 2 point something. What did we roll that one at?
I want to say it was 2.05.
2.05 was the last one we rolled. So we can basically double our interest income by investing the money. And we can't really invest the money if we have it labeled for construction that isn't going to happen. So we rolled the money
still
for 6 months.
But the money, I mean, it's you still could have it, but you could well. But, okay.
I know it feels like.
Well, I think the auditor would go nuts if we were investing money for 6 months that our budget shows we're spending in 4 months.
Well,
that's the kind of inconsistency that auditors don't like to see.
We do still have the public safety building set aside fund, and, we've put more money
into
it since we took it out of the budget.
That's right. Yeah, so if you look on page 4 here, Don, we've added the monies that we took out of the budget to the building fund that we're accruing.
Right here. Yeah, there you go.
Right here.
It's 100.
So we're not killing the project. We're moving the money into accumulated reserves for the building. If you have any doubt that what we're trying to do is kill your project, we're not. We're adding to the building fund.
Well, I disagree with the. You could do it. You could do it another way, that the community still thinks we're trying to solve the problem. Because I think some people want to do that. Well, I give up. I quit.
Okay.
It isn't over.
At any rate, those are the six areas of change in our mid-year budget review that your finance committee has brought to you and is recommending. Do you want to vote on this as a package, or would you like to vote on those six individual items? I'm open to your
package.
Well, let's try voting on it as a package and see what happens. Okay, and if it doesn't pass as a package, then we'll go back and vote on individual items. That may make sense, Joe. Okay, I would be happy to entertain a motion to approve the combined revenue, expense, and capital budget as submitted to you tonight in your packet. Joe, are you willing to make that motion?
I will move.
Okay. So. Is there a second to that motion to approve the revised revenue, expense, and capital budget?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the revised combined revenue, expense, and capital budget. Seeing no further discussion, I'm going to call for a roll call vote. What say you, Joe?
Aye.
I vote aye. Don?
No.
Nina?
Aye.
And Larry?
Aye.
Okay, the vote is 4-1, so the revised budget passes. Okay, we're on to item 11, which is board reports. The Finance Committee, you've basically heard what the Finance Committee did at our last meeting, come up with these revisions that we just voted on. In addition, you'll see in your packet the minutes of our June 6, 2017 meeting. It seems like that's a long time in between, but that's the meeting where we worked out the initial budget for fiscal year 2017-18. So those minutes are in your packet. It's our tradition not to include the minutes until they've been approved by the Finance Committee, and that's why you're seeing them now. Let's see, on the public safety building, anything further, Larry or Don?
No.
Larry?
I have nothing.
Okay. On the education committee, I have nothing new to report. On the Contra Costa County, you didn't go to the meeting. Did you go, Nina?
No.
So I think we did not have a representative at this last meeting. We'll try better. Do you, either one of you, have the date for the next meeting so that we can see if anybody's available?
It would be the third Monday in April.
Third Monday in April. Does anybody have a calendar so we know what that is?
I'm working on it.
Third Monday.
You're doing an, oh. There's,
April
16th, okay. Then we've got plenty of time between now and April 16th. Hopefully you'll be back on your feet again, friend. But I bet that's too soon for you, is it?
Yeah, the plan is to be fully operational by April 3rd.
Oh, well maybe Larry himself will be going, and if not, we'll see if we can find a replacement, because that's really an important group for us to stay involved in.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. And let's see, I already reported on what I learned at the Special Districts Association meetings last week.
James, could I back up one
sec?
I just
sorry.
I just hear the robust noise next door, and it's education. I wanted to...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to put this out, the postcards that we sent out to advertise for CERT and our websites and to sign up. It's been very effective. This is a full class. The boot camp's full. The class before this was full. So it's some of the classes we've been letting the number creep up a little. And so we have 32 in one class.
33.
Yeah, 33. So we're getting a great turnout. A great turnout from, you know, we've always had the ability to draw from San Pablo and Richmond and Berkeley. And we always get three or four, but we are getting the classes filled mostly with just Kensington and El Cerrito. So,
wow, good for you.
Yeah, we've had to turn
We've had to turn outside agencies away. So it's good. So engineer Damian Carrion's in there tonight, and engineer Kathy Halligan are in there tonight teaching the first aid session
class.
Too.
Oh, great.
So it's nice to see full classes. I know the postcard has some to do with it. The fire season has a lot to do with it. Mudslides have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry for interrupting.
I'm sorry. I didn't even look up when I was talking education, and I should have given you a shot at it. Okay, the policy manual we've already talked about. The website we've talked about. Is there anything more we want to say about the policy manual or the website?
No.
Okay. Then the Diablo Fire Safe. We send staff to that. I don't know if there's been a meeting since our last meeting. Has there
our
been
next
one?
Next meeting will be this coming Thursday.
Okay, so there really is nothing to report on that yet.
Well, actually, what there is to report is that this year we would like to tie, should there be grant funding that comes in, with Juniper projects along potential evacuation routes.
Oh, okay.
Because obviously...
You get more bang for your buck, yeah.
Well, you know, you have to drive past it, and if there's something that's not burning, it makes it easier to get past.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. And then our last item of business is correspondence. And you'll note that if you're interested in applying for LAFCO seat, there's information about that in your packet. And we got a nice thank you note from the Ventura County Fire Department that we helped out last month, I guess, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that concludes our agenda. And I would be happy now to adjourn our meeting at 8:28. And I'd like to adjourn it in our chief's honor. Good for you, Lance.
Yeah. Exciting times.
Still got to get it. 10 more months workout.
well, we will, but we're very pleased for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Not for us, by the way.
That was very nice of you, James.